It's time for JT the Brick.
The Lakers are a rudderless ship like we've never seen before. Period. Fact, not fiction. No one's running the Lakers. You think I'm crazy on this?
Fire Rambus! Fire Rambus!
Because everybody, here's the deal. You're all Laker fans, right? Everybody listening to me on the 15, the 215, Deep Henderson, Summerlin, you're all Laker fans, right?
I bleed purple and gold.
There is a leadership vacuum that is happening now that is cause for concern.
My uncle had Magic. My older brother had Kobe. I have LeBron. He's brought me nothing.
But there's so much drama around this team that you got to look at it and say, blow it up. Anthony Davis, bringing in Ty Lue, they can't get anything right.
What I didn't like is the backstabbing and the whispering. I don't like that.
Magic Johnson, he quit outright. I wouldn't call him a laughing stock because why would I do that? I'm sensing that this thing is a circus and it's imploding around us and it makes for tremendous radio.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, coming off the weekend. Thanks to PTs for all the great times this weekend. Happy hour, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. And they knocked it out of the park for Mother's Day with all their specials all weekend long. Golden Entertainment fuels the monologue as we get going. Hope you had a good weekend. Busy weekend for me. We'll go over a couple of cool things that I saw in town this weekend and a busy weekend. We're coming off the NBA. Albert Hall will join us in about 20 minutes, the president of the NBA Summer League. He's coming to us first to talk about the new NBA Summer League and what they're going to bring to the table this year. Really excited for this interview. Albert's been great to us over the years. I am a big fan of the NBA Summer League. If you're going with buddies, if you're taking the kids, whatever you're doing, it's probably the best fan-friendly 2 weeks in town that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Think of where it's come from and where it's grown to. Albert Hall in 20 minutes. Also this hour, we'll talk to Chris Dole, who's a great sports talk host in San Antonio, covered Kawhi Leonard's championship with the Spurs, knows him well, and we'll talk about the evolution of Kawhi as he hit one of the biggest shots, the only Game 7 game-winning buzzer beater of all time, which I can't get my head wrapped around yet because they've been playing basketball since like peach baskets, and when they were shooting free throws through their legs and no one's ever hit a buzzer beater Game 7, Kobe, Michael did in a 5-game series, not a 7. We'll talk about what Kawhi did. The Warriors advanced like I expected them to against the Rockets, and Portland's comeback down 17 on the road was pretty special. And Portland has advanced to the Western Conference Finals. Look, hockey's still going on. I feel like the dragon in Game of Thrones that got shot down from the sky. I have no energy on hockey now. I don't know if you're watching hockey, but I'm not watching it at the level that I wanted to because the Vegas Golden Knights got ripped off, and the team that ripped them off might win the Stanley Cup. Have you got your head around that yet? The team, we were up 3-1. Yes, we up 3-1 might end up winning the cup as they look like they have a walk in the park until they get to Bobby's Boston Bruins, most likely in the Stanley Cup final. And the news about Coach Beilein. Beilein gets the job with Cleveland. I was planning on seeing him this weekend for Coaches versus Cancer, but he's got some big things happening as the Cleveland Cavaliers have a new head coach. By now you should start dialing because I'm here by myself for 2 hours. I don't talk about movies and cheeseburgers, so I like a call maybe once an hour, and I know you got something to talk about coming off the weekend. 876-1340 is the number, 876-1340, and I'm on Twitter, at JT the Brick. So I want to begin with Steph Curry's clutch performance in Game 6 in Houston and the fact that they put the Rockets down in a big way. That was an epic performance. Steph Curry was a no-show in the first half of the game, but in the second half of the game, he lit it up and ended up winning that game, which to me was another legacy win for Steph Curry. The day before, there was a torrential rainstorm in Houston. I think they got 6 inches of rain in 4 hours, and the Warriors landed in Houston. After the series, and this is a big story here, what happened here. The Warriors got back to Houston to play in that critical Game 6, and Steph wanted to go to the gym, the Toyota Center, to get some shots up and work out. And Chris Paul blocked him. Chris Paul found out about it, and Chris Paul got to the gym and started working out. Steph Curry was going to take half the court and play on his half, and Chris Paul threw him out of the gym. So that was probably one of the dumbest decisions in NBA history, to put any motivation into Steph Curry to want to bury, flat out bury, the Houston Rockets, a team that just can't get by him. So that was the backdrop to the story. And in a game where Steph didn't have much going on, in the fourth quarter, he came through. He was super clutch.
Curry behind the back twice, leans, fades, fires. It's up and good! A three ball for Curry! Amazing!
Yeah, it was amazing. He was just great when it counted. He was great when it counted in the second half of the game. 34 minutes for Steph, who got in early foul trouble. He was 9 of 20 from the field, 4 of 11 from 3, but he was 11 of 11 from the free throw line. And what could you say about Klay Thompson? He played 40 minutes at 27. He was 7 of 13 from 3. Here's the dagger.
Curry with 10 on the clock. Goes away from the screen. Now doubled. Feeds Draymond with 5. Draymond out to the corner. Iguodala to Thompson. Above the break. 3 is knocked down. A Klay trade.
That's Warriors Radio Tim Roy on the call. So they end up winning that game. 118 to 113. If you had them on the money line, I mean, how easy has it been for some of you gamblers to bet the Warriors when you see the Warriors getting points? Anyone want to let me know about that? When you're sitting in a sports book and you look at the Warriors and you say, wow, that's the Warriors plus 6, the Warriors plus 3, give me some of that action. Let me peel off 100 and just throw it down on that, because you're going to be entertained. You're going to watch a Warrior game. You might go to the window afterwards with some value because you bet them while they were getting points. Incredible. Incredible win for that franchise again, and they did it without Boogie Cousins and without Kevin Durant. So now we're at the point where we have to figure out where they are in their overall legacy as a dynasty. Because I'll stay consistent with what I said. That was the NBA Finals. It's over. I'm going to pretend here for the next 2 or 3 weeks that all these games matter. We're going to interview people. I'm going to have play-by-play bites and all that. But I thought that that was the NBA Finals. And the Warriors won, and they weren't even at full strength. So I don't think that they have to worry about Milwaukee. I don't think they have to worry about Portland. If I'm wrong, you know where to find me. But I think the Warriors have now won their fourth NBA title in 5 years. And the one that they won, the one that LeBron won, should have been the Warriors. That would have been 5 for 5. We would have been talking about maybe the greatest dynasty of all time, or dating back to the Celtics and Red Auerbach. So this Warrior team is on cruise control for Mike D'Antoni in Houston. They just realize that they're not good enough. He's not good enough as a coach to out-coach Steve Kerr, and they weren't going to win that game any way you sliced it.
You've got to be a champion to be a champion. I just thought there's too many times that we had a miscommunication, we relaxed a little bit, or we weren't really 100% sharp. We were playing hard and trying to do it, but just not. With them, you cannot make a minimal mistake, not for a second. There was going to be 3 points, and they got us a few times.
An important topic on Sports Talk Radio is when you're a team and you can't beat a dynasty. So how do you judge the team that couldn't get over the hump? Karl Malone and John Stockton are a great example with the Jazz. They were very good players. They were great players, Hall of Famers, but they had Mark Eaton and Greg Ostertag at center. They didn't have enough players to win, and those are two of the greatest players of all time. So how do you judge Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing, who played on great teams, and Reggie Miller, who never won a championship because they played in the Jordan years when Jordan was 6 for 6. Do you discount the play of those guys, or do you look at them and include the Rockets and just say, look, they weren't good enough to win? See, in this country, we're not good with silver, gold, and bronze medals. We're not good with the follow-up. You don't get a trophy for coming in second at the Super Bowl. But the Buffalo Bills, one of the greatest teams of all time. They went to 4 Super Bowls in a row. That will never happen again. They were a great team, but they never walked away with the Lombardi Trophy. And they are judged accordingly to the Cowboys, who beat them for a couple of that, and the Cowboys became a dynasty by winning 3 in that era with Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer. So that's where we're at with the Rockets. Like Mike Wilbon said today on PTI, I said that before him, I don't crush the Rockets or anybody when they don't beat the Warriors. I don't. The team I think it's fair to criticize was LeBron and Cleveland over the years, because those were the two best teams going toe-to-toe, and if Kevin Love made a mistake, or Kyrie or LeBron, you could be critical, because it was a kind of an even series, and Cleveland got the Warriors for one of them. When it comes to the Rockets not beating the Warriors, I don't know anybody who thought the Rockets were going to beat the Warriors. Do you? Do you know anybody that you trust? I mean, gamblers, take the gamblers out of it. The gamblers are betting the spread. They're not betting the series. You didn't hear people saying, I love Houston to win the series on the money line. because the Warriors are a dynasty. After the game for Steve Kerr, I got to give him a lot of credit. He was getting some criticism early in the series when the Rockets tied it up at two. He was a phenomenal coach in the closeout games.
Well, that's what Steph does. I mean, I actually told his mom and dad after the game, I said, if that game didn't personify Steph Curry, I don't know what did. He's a guy who can make some plays that leave you scratching your head. You know, the fouls, some of the turnovers, not tonight, but sometimes he just makes plays and you kind of look around thinking, you know, what is he doing? But most of the time he makes these incredible plays and he's just fearless.
I think it's easy to make the connection from Steve Kerr, who played for Phil Jackson, and Greg Popovich, to connect all of them together. Steve Kerr is a great coach, but you might say, well, he has the best players, JT. Phil Jackson had Jordan and Pippen. Well, he had to deal with the ego of Dennis Rodman. He had to deal with the bench. He had to deal with egos on the road. It is not that easy. It's great to have the best players. The greatest coach of our lifetime to win consistently without the best players is Bill Belichick with New England. Because New England's got very good players. They have the best in Tom Brady. But the rest of the guys, the lollipop guild, the tiny receivers, the no-name linebackers that you can't remember, some of the other guys, they play their best because they're clutch. The Warriors have better talent, and they're just clutch. They hit open shots. We're in this crazy era now of NBA basketball where everybody wants to shoot a three all the time, even when they need a bucket. I mean, Denver was up by 17. I was tweeting live, just give it to Jokic the rest of the game. Let him go to the foul line and win. It's over. But what did they start doing, everybody? Oh, we'll take a three with 16 seconds left on the shot clock. Oh, we'll take a three with 9 seconds left on the shot clock. And you let the other team back into the game. And with the Warriors, if they're losing, they can shoot threes to get back in. And then when they're winning, they have the balls to continue to shoot threes and bury you. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I'm a victim as a Knicks fan of Jordan and the Bulls beating my Knicks and taking at least one or two rings from me. One or two rings and parades for me. I'd hate to be the Rockets now. I mean, the Rockets have no chance of ever beating this Warrior team. I don't even know why they field the team. Just for gate receipts for the regular season and the postseason. They're going nowhere as long as that dynasty is together. And for James Harden, as I told you, I think he should be the unanimous MVP of the year because I thought he was the best player in the entire league the whole season, with a wink and a nod to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Another tough loss for Harden.
James, do you have a sense of what needs to happen to get over this hurdle? Even if the roster stays mostly the same, is there something about either the way you guys play or what you can take from these experiences that gets you the next step that they've stopped each time?
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do. Just we'll figure it out this summer.
Pretty inspiring, huh? Pretty motivating. I try to motivate on the radio every day. My energy level never slips. James Harden has an excuse. I didn't play basketball at that pace and exhaust all that energy. Harden knows he's not going to be able to beat him. The Blazers-Nuggets game was fantastic. Nuggets, as I said, with a comfortable lead, and they got outscored at home in the third and fourth quarter, 32-24 and 29-24, and get beat 100-96. C.J. McCollum was the star of the game. As Damian Lillard had an off game, McCollum had the best game of his career.
10 seconds on the shot clock, down to 14 of the game. C.J. dribbles, free throw line jumper. Yes, he got it! And the Blazers back in front by three, 98-95, 11.4 left here in the fourth quarter.
This was a great game. McCollum ended up with 37 points to lead the Blazers with the best road win I can remember for a team in a great series. I think the NBA has to be thrilled at the entertainment value that we got out of the Blazers and the Nuggets. It was outstanding as the Blazers win in advance.
2-1, and that does it. The clock will run out, and for the first time in 19 years, the Portland Trail Blazers are headed to the Western Conference Finals.
First time in 19 years. Let me tie that into the Golden Knights. First time in 19 years they get to the Conference Finals. Well, in the year one of the Vegas Golden Knights, year one, they won the Conference Finals. They got to the Stanley Cup Final. Hey, everybody in Vegas, we did that in year one. This year should have been there again. We'd be talking about this next couple of weeks, hosting the Stanley Cup again. It's tough to get back. It's tough. Portland Portland is like Calgary in hockey or San Jose. Go through Vancouver and all these teams. You never know when you're going to get back. 19 years. Now the question becomes, can Portland get a game from the Warriors? I think they might be able to. There's no Boogie Cousins, no Durant for game one, maybe game two. They got a lot of momentum coming in. Damian Lillard's from Oakland, so he's inspired to play. I would hope that Portland would get a split in Oakland. If they win one of the two games, maybe we'll have a six-game series instead of four or five. Obviously, the Warriors a heavy favorite to get back to the NBA Finals. And finally, Kawhi Leonard's shot is a shot that we'll be talking about for the rest of our lives. It was great to see this humble man demand the basketball throughout the game because none of his teammates wanted to shoot. None of them wanted to step up. They all put it on Kawhi and gave him an opportunity to win it.
Raptors, here we go. They get it to Leonard. Drives right. Down to the baseline. Fall away for the win. Got it! Kawhi Leonard's shot went up in the air. It hit the rim. It bounced on the rim before going through the bucket. Toronto wins 92-90. It's on to Milwaukee and the Eastern Conference Final.
Raptors radio on the call. So is anybody out there, including me, were you confused by the fact that that was the first ever buzzer beater in NBA history in a Game 7? Were you surprised by that? I was shocked by that. I couldn't believe that Kobe Bryant, who has five championship rings, never hit a buzzer beater in Game 7. Michael Jordan, we have to go back to round one of the 1989 Eastern Conference playoffs, where he was able to do it over Craig Elo and the Cavaliers. But that was in a five-game series in round one. It wasn't for the NBA Finals or a game like Kawhi just played. And then you got to go back to Elgin Baylor in 1962. So I was watching that with my father-in-law, my sons, and I love watching history in sports. Not on SportsCenter, not on delay, to see it live. And then we couldn't believe that that ball hit the rim and didn't bounce back. It bounced straight up and then bounced on the other side of the rim and bounced again and went in. For those who say that was lucky, stop it. Guy's taken thousands upon thousands upon thousands of shots his entire life to prepare for that moment. He was able to get the shot off. He was able to make it. It was an incredible moment. But does Kawhi stay in Toronto? I haven't even gotten to all our Lakers stuff. We got a heavy Lakers show today. Tom Looney, my old partner on the back end, Eddie Johnson from SiriusXM NBA Radio, is going to join us on the coaching carousel as the Lakers now will go with Frank Vogel, as we touched on briefly as the news broke in our show at the end of the week, and I got more to add on that when we come up. The monologue brought to you by PT. As a matter of fact, it's about the Strat and everything that's going on inside, as we are there at Boulevard in Maine, where they house us for our radio remotes, unbelievable food, upscale pub cuisine, and then you can go into the elevator and go to the top of the world and get the best view in town. Boulevard in Maine, inside the Strat. NBA Summer League, we got some new information for you. Stick around, Albert Hall joins us next.
I knew it was game seven, and I didn't want to leave no shots in my mind. I just wanted to go out and leave it all on the floor. This could have been my last game for the season, and you know, I would have had to wait four months to put another shot up in a game. So I was gonna leave it all out on the floor tonight and not worry about makes or misses and still just, you know, try to will us to a win or just get to my spots.
That is Kawhi Leonard, who I had a chance to watch him win his championship with the Spurs live in San Antonio. What a humble guy. And another guy I have now that I really respect. Albert Hall joins us, co-founder of the NBA Summer League. And we are ready July 5th through the 15th here in Vegas. It's my favorite event that brings families, kids together, the NBA, the league. It's a home run. Albert, good to talk to you again, my friend. How you been?
I've been great, JT. Good to hear you fired up and excited about season 15. And, you know, you've been a supporter of ours since the beginning. So we're excited to get out there. Season 15, can you imagine that?
I can, because I watched this from the beginning and you guys on the ground and how you built this up and how you've worked with the partnerships, and now we can tie that in with MGM and all your other properties, and how the sponsors came back happy, your partners were all thrilled by this, but especially the fan experience. Talk about how NBA Summer League interacts with all fans and all ages.
Yeah, it really is. There's something for everyone. I mean, the Summer League provides an opportunity for fans to really feel like they're an insider. You know, you've been out there. Everybody in Vegas who's been out there over the years has stories to tell about players that make their debut there. We always talk about Linsanity, and last year, you know, we'll have the number one versus number two pick each year. But really, it's a fan experience between the games, the up-close personal action. You never know who you're going to run into or see in the stands, which is great. You know, you got coaches and former All-Stars and, you know, current players there. And really what we do is we make it affordable for everybody. And, you know, autograph sessions each day, a $35 ticket. You can see up to 10 games in one day. And there's always great stories and storylines coming out of Summer League, and people want to be the ones that can say they saw it first.
And I love the fact that egos are checked at the door. Not only the players, but the staff, the trainers, the coaches, the former NBA legends. It seems like everybody shows up at the Thomas and Mack, and they walk back and forth through Cox, and they come, and everybody's happy. Everybody wants to be there. You're not pulling everybody's arm to be there and say, you have to be here for these 2 hours. Why does everybody understand this? It seems like the league to the players, the developmental players, all understand they have to do this to grow the league.
Well, I think everybody realizes that there's a shot. You know, this is a shot for whether it's a young coach, whether it's a young player, whether it's a veteran bounce back player trying to get a shot, you know, or just the people around the game trying to make it better. This is really our kind of our summer session, our melting pot of ideas and innovation and competition, but in a fun and friendly environment. And I think over the years, as we implemented the playoff system, and now we have a tournament, you know, people want to win, and this is one of those where you can let your hair down a little bit, but still go for it without really risking a ton. You look at the Blazers, you know, last year they won the Summer League, and they're always competitive. You know, I think their free and easy mentality right now is showing through, and you know, we always like to pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, that always happened at Summer League. But it, a team like that, you know, they take it. They have nothing to lose. They develop their young guys. And then those guys carry it on into the regular season. And you see that come to life in the playoffs.
Albert Hall's our guest. We're talking about the NBA Summer League. Tickets will be available. We will tell you about it nonstop here on the Las Vegas Sports Network. I see that the Croatian and Chinese national teams will join all 30 NBA teams. How tough was that to put that deal together?
You know what? The Chinese team has been a part of Summer League for a number of years, whether they come out and send some of their top recruits. And last year, they actually played a few scrimmages behind the scenes. So obviously, there's a huge interest in the NBA in China. So getting them involved and creating a schedule that worked for everyone was something that the entire league embraced. And then Croatia is always an up-and-coming young team. They won the World Championships last year, and Igor Kokoskov, did a great job of coaching those guys. But what it is really opens up now kind of almost like a wild card spot for another team around the world each and every year. You know, as these developing countries of basketball, whether it be Spain, whether it be Russia, whether it be China, whomever, you know, now there's an opportunity to play for something, a little incentive to come out to Summer League. And, you know, not to mention the fan bases. Vegas is a melting pot of everybody from all over the globe. So we hope to get some fans out there to follow those teams.
You know, we just had the All-Star game with Team LeBron and Team Giannis, and I thought a great tweet you guys put out that had Damian Lillard, and he was in the Summer League in 2012. Then it's Clay and Ben Simmons and Harden and Durant. And then I go to Team Giannis and seeing those players, you forget almost for a second. Kyle Lowry, D'Angelo Russell, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Kemba Walker, Blake Griffin, who loves Vegas, Jokic, who's a great player, all came through the NBA Summer League. How proud are you of that?
Very proud. I mean, that's one of those things where you walk in, you see our kind of our wall of fame there with the guys that have taken an opportunity and really ran with it. You know, you look at a guy like Jimmy Butler who came in a second round pick and, you know, just said, hey, I'm not going to be denied. And, you know, each year we have stories like that. And I was just kind of making some notes of the bounce back guys this year who had a big following. You know, a guy like Mo Bamba, Wendell Carter, you know, Kevin Knox, Michael Porter Jr., who was once the number one player in the country. You know, these guys now look at Summer League as a really big shot. So you mentioned D'Angelo Russell. You know, that's a kid who's really near and dear to our heart because, you know, a lot of people wrote him off, but he put on a heck of a show at Summer League. So regardless of where you come from, where you're drafted, if you're a free agent, there's always a shot here, and there's an opportunity, whether it's a Kent Bazemore or Jonathan Simmons or a guy like we haven't even mentioned yet, and we all know Zion is going to be, you know,
yeah,
let's see what he's got and going to be the star of the show.
Well, as a diehard Knicks fan, Albert Hall's our guest. Follow him at Hall Pass Media. The only way that my Knicks, and I love the team, but it's been a rough 20 years for me, and I'm believing in Durant, Kyrie, and Zion. My sons laugh at me. You've met my sons now. Now one's going off to college, and he goes, Dad, it's not happening. I go, ping pong ball. I was there for Ewing in the ice-cold envelope. Now I need one of those heavyweight ping pong balls to come my way. How big is this Zion off-season into the draft lottery tomorrow night and where he ends up?
It's huge. I mean, and the reality is it's fantastic for the sport. There's no doubt. I mean, whether your team is still playing or your team was an early exit and in lottery bound in March, you know, there's always hope and optimism with the draft and with Summer League now. And a guy like that is a franchise changer. He's a culture changer. And, you know, when you talk about the growth of what we've done in Vegas, a guy like Zion, now we have the platforms to really show everybody what he's capable of at an early stage of his career, which is exciting. You know, you're talking about 140,000 fans in the stands throughout the run or 650 million views around the world. Now everybody can see this guy first and foremost right here in Vegas. And, you know, there's a number of young good stories. I think Ja Morant is a kid that
yeah,
really a lot of people are looking forward to seeing at the next level. You know, you start going down the list of second-round picks and guys that were superstars, you know, less than 18 months ago who are now fighting for their lives. Summer League provides that opportunity.
Wrapping up with Albert Hall, give some of our listeners locally here the best way. If we wanted to invite friends out to talk about how do you get the hotel rooms in advance, how much planning should go into this? Because there are people locally who are listening here that get it. They can drop off their kids, go to work. Their kids could be there all day. They can get an all-day ticket, pick them up, give them some money for lunch. All your concessions are affordable. And then there's a lot of events at the casino properties after the day of basketball that everybody can get involved with.
Yeah, no question. You've always been a big proponent, so we thank you for promoting that, JT. You know, tickets are really easy to get. Go on sale on Wednesday at 10 a.m. at NBATickets.com and UNLVTickets.com. We keep the pricing very affordable. It's a $35 ticket plus fees for an adult, $25 for kids and seniors. And really, that gets you up to 10 games in a day. Imagine that. I mean, it's the best ticket in sports. So tickets are not hard to come by. They will be difficult on certain days. We
yeah,
will sell out certain days, so I recommend buying in advance. We do offer reserve season tickets this year, so that's a new thing that we've added, so you can guarantee yourself a spot for regardless of when the games are, you have a reserve seat season ticket. And those are all available, again, NBA.com or UNLVTickets.com. And then at the hotels, you know, MGM Resorts has been a fantastic partner. All of their properties have discounted rates and a number of events going on nightly from starting on July 5th, Friday night, all the way through our championship night on the 15th. So we'll continue to post those at NBA.com and push those events out through social media. But our team does a fantastic job of really spreading the word, getting everybody involved. And the beauty of Summer League is, as you said, I mean, it's free parking. It's one ticket. You can drop your kid off or you can go be a hoop junkie, and there's something for everybody, and we welcome that, and it's a lot of fun. Everybody leaves with a smile on their face.
What'd you think of that Kawhi make? In all your history of knowing these guys, what'd you think?
What, four or five touches on the rim and then drops? I don't know if I've ever seen a game winner like that.
And it's incredible. It's the first time ever. Jordan did it in 89 in a game five over Elo. We remember that. Were you shocked that it's been that long since a decisive buzzer beater in a game seven, an elimination spot? I just assumed that Kobe might have did it or someone else. That is a rare moment in NBA history.
It really is. And I mean, the playoffs have been fantastic. There's been a lot of tight games each and every year. I mean, that Portland-Denver series, I was watching that four overtime game, and you know, I don't know how many big shots were made in that game, but, you know, a buzzer beater game seven just goes to show how hard it is to get to a game seven, right? That's the number one thing. And then you hit a game winner like that. He did it at home. I think the other one was on the road. So even more impressive.
Good to talk to you, my friend. We're thrilled that you started with us. We'll let everybody know about this. We got a pair of tickets to give out today and anything you need along the way. I'm proud of your success, and thanks for coming to us to promote the Summer League.
Likewise. Always appreciate the support, my friend.
You got it. There he is, Albert Hall, co-founder and president of NBA Summer League. So from time to time on this show, we'll promote things, mostly charity-based, Coaches versus Cancer this week, Gridiron Greats with Coach Ditka, the Raider Foundation, proud to be a part of that. This is an event in town that I will go over the top with, because my kids used to go there where we'd have to supervise them. Then we'd drop them off. Kind of a lazy way for me and my wife to say, hey, go there with your buddies. We'll pick you up 7 hours later. And now my son drives there. Okay? And that's a big drive for him because he just got his license. He's driving through there, pulling into the Thomas and Mack, and he's there all day with his little brother. And we love it. And it's just so cool to see these guys walking around from arena to arena, signing autographs. And then you go, oh, look down there. And LeBron walks in through the back. And LeBron last year, after the Laker announcements, the sea parted. Everybody's looking at LeBron James. Everybody came over to kiss LeBron's ring. Think of what's happened in that year since LeBron at Summer League, July of 2018. And now we're in May, going into July in Summer League again. Everything that's changed. So thanks to Albert Hall. And again, UNLV tickets, NBATickets.com. We got a pair of tickets to give away, Bobby, but we don't give away stuff. You got to call in for it. So if you got a great phone call today on what we've seen with Kawhi Leonard, Curry, who can beat the Warriors? Are the Warriors the best dynasty? Anything that's NBA related, what we'll do is we'll give away a pair of those $35 tickets, good seats for the NBA Summer League. 876-1340 is the number. Chris Dool's going to join us next. A really cool guy. I only put on the best sports talk hosts who can entertain. Chris covered Kawhi's entire career in San Antonio, and he has an emotional tie with him in the shot yesterday. So we'll talk to Chris Dool coming up next from San Antonio. Top of the hour, Eddie Johnson from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Scored over 19,000 points in his NBA career. The sharpshooter for Houston on the Lakers. And then my partner, Tom Looney, for all these years. He covered the Lakers in the locker room for their championship years with Kobe and Shaq. We'll ask him about the hiring of Frank Vogel. We're brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. Go to Boulder Highway in Henderson.
As time passes here, and as you know, the possibility exists that Jason Kidd could be hired as the Lakers coach. I think the possibility of Kyrie and LeBron reuniting is, you know, that door, which was deadbolted, has now been undeadbolted and is now cracked open.
Definitely, no question.
And it might even be opening more. Might even be opening more by the day. And I say that not because I just think it's on Kyrie's radar. It's on Kyrie's board. He is. Had discussions with people about playing for the Lakers. But as you said, it's very difficult to
rehab. I asked him point blank, Brian. I asked him point blank. And I said, you know what everybody's saying, Kyrie? They're saying now you're going to go back to LeBron. And he looked at me and he laughed. I said, is that a yes or a no? And he laughed again. And he put his arm around me and he left.
Yeah, the only thing Brian Windhorst got wrong was Frank Vogel. It wasn't Jason Kidd. Now Frank Vogel is the head coach of the Lakers. JT, back with you. Good to have you. Coming up, Kawhi Leonard's amazing Game 7 buzzer beater. I wanted to have my good friend on because I think he knows more about Kawhi and his journey more than anybody I could interview in Toronto who actually cover the Raptors. Chris Dool is a tremendous sports radio host on Ticket 760 in San Antonio and also part of the Spurs radio broadcast. Chris, good to talk to you again. How you been, bud?
Hey, great, JT. Great to be with you.
You saw that shot go down. What did you think of Kawhi after covering his entire career in San Antonio?
You know, I've heard other people say this. Earlier today, I heard Antonio Daniels say this, who has covered Kawhi ever since he came to San Antonio. Antonio lives here as well. I've never seen Kawhi Leonard that emotional, even going back to 2014 when the Spurs won the NBA Finals over Miami and Kawhi was the MVP of that series. He was not as emotional as he was last night after making that shot.
Was he difficult to cover? And again, let's start off with the reason he didn't stay in San Antonio. As you peeled that back on your show and on the Spurs broadcast, does anybody have a really good feel why it didn't fit perfectly in San Antonio and he had to go to Toronto?
You know, JT, nobody knows for sure. I call it the biggest mystery in Spurs history. You know, there's all kinds of speculation, Some that, you know, Kawhi and his uncle thought that the Spurs doctors had misdiagnosed him on not one but two possible injuries. There's some people who say maybe Pop should have treated him a little bit later differently, which I think is a little crazy because you got, you know, from David Robinson to Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, a litany of Spurs who love Pop, and not only Spurs themselves, Kobe Bryant loves Pop. LeBron James loves Pop. It's so weird to see a guy come through this system, and this system really did help develop a lot of Kawhi's offensive and defensive capabilities over the years, dating back to when he was a 15th round pick or a number 15 overall pick in 2011, originally by the Pacers. It's just, it's crazy, and I don't think anybody knows for sure what the actual story was.
Chris Dull is our guest. That's a great point you bring up about him developing under Pop in San Antonio. I watched him play for San Diego State here in the Mountain West Conference Tournament out here, and I remember it vividly, watching him play in college, saying there's just something about him defensively. He was one of the players that jumped out defensively on how long he was and his ability in a trap or grab a rebound, but I didn't think he would become the scorer he did, and it seemed like yesterday, would you agree, he had to take all the big shots because no one on Toronto wanted to step up. They were deferring to him.
Hey, he sure did. And one of those development coaches with the Spurs, you know him, JT, his name is Chip England.
Yeah.
He's a guy who really helped Kawhi with the three-point shot over the years here in San Antonio. But, yeah, you look at his numbers last night, you know, he was 16 out of 39. So, you know, he wasn't raining, but you're right. They depended on him. He had to make the big shots. He scored 41 points. In that game winner, JT, that's one of those that we are going to be seeing in replay for the rest of our lives. That image and that video of that shot will never go away. It'll outlive all of us.
Chris Dull joins us in San Antonio, covers the Spurs, and has a great talk show down there that I'm on from time to time. I was wondering when the game was going on, with all the shots that he took, and he was on a stretch where I think he missed seven or eight in a row. And I was wondering if they lose that game at home, because Harden got a lot of heat. There was no Durant and Boogie Cousins. He lost game six. What type of heat do you think Kawhi would have gotten if he didn't make that shot and they would have lost? Because I believe that would have been his last game. I'm one of many who thinks he's going to L.A.
Yeah, I agree with you, JT. I mean, what a different universe we would be in today if he would have missed that shot and if Philadelphia would have prevailed in overtime. I don't know if he'd be under so much heat himself, because I think Raptors fans are praying he sticks around, and certainly Raptors management would still, you know, knowing his value, do everything they could to keep him around. You know, maybe the Toronto media, maybe the overall media that covers the NBA. But I mean, we saw it throughout that. You know, he's the second in scoring average, second only to Kevin Durant in these playoffs. So he's doing everything he can do. I think one of the biggest problems for Toronto has been his supporting cast, you know, Pascal Siakam, Marc Gasol, and others not stepping up. Kyle Lowry not stepping up as much as they should be throughout that seven-game series to support Kawhi.
Chris, he built a mansion down in Rancho Santa Fe, which is a nice suburb of San Diego, and he went to Riverside High School, and everybody is assuming it's going to be the Clippers over the Lakers. I think that would be the ultimate slap in the face to LeBron. If LeBron comes in the Laker brand with 16 championships and says, we got a spot for you with the Lakers, we need you. LeBron's on the private jet to recruit him. And he says, no, I like the makeup now of Doc Rivers and the Clippers. If you were betting on this, where do you think Kawhi ends up?
You know, I would lean Clippers.
Yeah.
You know, you would say it's the ultimate slap to LeBron. I agree with you, but here's a guy who already slapped Coach Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. Here's a guy who is unpredictable and not afraid to take a move that might not seem to be popular to some people on the surface. I mean, he is such a wild card. He is such an enigma. He is so unpredictable. I mean, here we are predicting, but I think anything's possible, and I get the sense he kind of likes to do his thing, and you hear so many other NBA players say that when you're a teammate of LeBron James, LeBron is the general. LeBron is your commander. I don't think that necessarily fits with Kawhi Leonard's personality. Therefore, I think he would choose the Clippers over the Lakers.
Wrapping it up with Chris Duhl. Chris, wanted to ask you quickly about the future of the Spurs, because for years they were able to retain their free agents. Tim Duncan looked at it. Remember the Orlando billboards and then the billboards in San Antonio stay. He stayed, became an iconic all-time great. And Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, David Robinson. But now that Kawhi left and he's finding success, is there any concern that San Antonio is going to have a difficult time getting free agents to come again in the open market? Because Pop's locked up again. I think that would be the hook to getting some great players to come to the Spurs.
Yeah, Pop signed a three-year contract, he is in negotiation for what is being reported to be a three-year contract that he can then evaluate every year. But that's a big deal as far as free agents are concerned. I agree with you, JT. We're in the era of player power and free agency and players coming together to form super teams, and they tend to do that in large markets. So you look at a San Antonio, you look at a Milwaukee with the Greek Freak, I think the smaller markets are more in jeopardy, because when you want to form a super team, you want to go to L.A., you want to go to Miami, you want to go to New York, you probably don't necessarily want to go to San Antonio. So I think this is a critical time for the Spurs, and we'll see what Greg Popovich, R.C. Buford, and the Brain Trust are able to do this summer. You know, the Spurs have two first-round draft picks. They're low because they've got Toronto's picks. They're not high at all. They're 19 and 29. But Pop and R.C. usually create some kind of magic in the offseason, either through free agency or through the draft. So we'll have to see what happens.
I thought of you today, and it brought us back to our mentor, Andrew Ashwood, who we're both connected to, who passed too early from a battle with cancer. I was able to write the handoff and pay tribute to him, and it's kind of connected us. Isn't it nice that we come from a radio tree, like a coaching tree in other sports, where the gorilla in San Antonio brought us both together?
Absolutely. And for you JT the Brick fans out there who haven't read The Handoff yet by JT the Brick, jump on Amazon or wherever you have to. It's a beautiful, beautiful book about a beautiful, beautiful friendship. But totally agree. And, you talk about a coaching tree, and I know you're late, but Mike Budenholzer of the Milwaukee Bucks, 17 years, the most tenured assistant coach under Pop, 17 years in San Antonio. Pop started him in the video room, and he's the guy I'm pulling for Milwaukee here down the stretch.
Good to talk to you, Chris. All the best to your family. I'll see you soon.
Thanks so much, JT.
Chris Duhl. I knew he'd be great today to talk about Kawhi Leonard, because he was connected with him and covered and brought us back to 2014. And then, remember, Kawhi Leonard was playing against the Warriors, and in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, remember, was it the semis or the finals where he twisted his ankle when he came down and didn't play that series against the Warriors, and it really was the end of the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard did not want to play, as Chris Duhl told you, because he was misdiagnosed. He had an injury. He didn't like the way it was misdiagnosed. He wanted to train on his own and rehab on his own in New York with doctors that he deemed to be better, I guess. And it put a fracture through his relationship with San Antonio and his uncle and himself, and he ended up going to Toronto. And as I tweeted yesterday, if Toronto can't keep Kawhi Leonard, say they can't keep him, how are they ever going to keep anybody again? The guy hit the biggest shot in the history of the franchise. He is the biggest celebrity star and MVP of the Raptors' history. And he might walk? And they can pay him than the Clippers. So why would he leave? Well, first off, it's the culture. Nothing against it. I love Toronto, but some people might not want to live in Canada. Right? He's a basketball player from Riverside, California, who lives outside San Diego. Look on a map how far it is from Rancho Santa Fe to Toronto when you get a couple of days off. And maybe he just wants to be in L.A. And I think the Clippers would be a good fit for him, because Doc Rivers got a lot out of the Clippers this past year without any big stars, Patrick Beverley, guys off the bench. If they get Kawhi Leonard there, that could be a shot to the Lakers. What's hurting the Laker brand mostly now is the Warrior dynasty. And LeBron was with the Lakers. I'm sure the Lakers would be intention to win it all. But because the Warrior dynasty is in full force, the Lakers can't win even with LeBron. So if LeBron doesn't get Kyrie Irving or Kawhi Leonard, and he doesn't get Durant and Klay Thompson, then he's going to have to get the second tier of free agents. And I like Jimmy Butler, and I like Kemba Walker, and I like some of these guys, but they're not at the same level as James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Bobby's team, the Boston Celtics, are in a tough spot now, because Boston has been acquiring all these draft picks for the last 4 or 5 years, and they're pretty good. They're competitive, but everybody's waiting for them. So they went all in on Kyrie Irving and got nothing out of it. So what do the Celtics do? And then again, tomorrow night is big because we'll be on the radio and we'll be covering it. Tomorrow, as we just tweeted out, Bobby, I am a practicing Catholic. I'm proud of that. And I go to church and I pray. And I'm going to be praying for Zion Williamson to go to my Knicks. There is a real God in my life, and then there's a sports God in my life. And I will pray to the real God tomorrow and my sports God, trying to bring them together to get me Zion Williamson. Because my wife, when we pull into the garage, we have storage in my garage for clothes. And I have these big, big baskets and, you know, the big tubs of all my old clothes. And my wife says, throw that stuff out. You know, JT the Brick t-shirts from the radio from the 90s and all that. And I say, no, the kids will want them someday. And she goes, no, they don't. They have their own clothes. They don't want your old clothes. Okay, they don't want your trash pretty much. But I said, what about that one? And she goes, I get it. And in the corner of the garage, there's a tub, big, heavy. You can't even lift it. And it's all of my Knicks gear, my sweatsuits, my hoodies, my shorts. You've seen it. And it just sits there in the corner of my garage. And I look at it every once in a while. And if we get Zion, I'm going to pop it open tomorrow and put some, I'll have to put it in the laundry first because I haven't opened that thing since 2009. But I will put on some old throwback Knick gear and I will walk around popping again, feeling good about my team. Because I try to tie everything back to Vegas locally, from the Raiders to the Golden Knights. It takes a while. The Raiders haven't been deep into the playoffs since 2002. They played in the Super Bowl the first month or two of 2003. And now it's 2019. Look at that gap. They went to the playoffs once in that time and lost because Derek Carr broke his ankle. And the Vegas Golden Knights. How about all those Golden Knights who are playing internationally, playing well? We'll talk about that later on this week. 1 hour up, Bobby. We got a pair of tickets to give away for the best caller here, 876-1340, when it comes to the NBA and Summer League. We'll do that next hour. Former NBA player Eddie Johnson's going to join us, and Tom Looney, all on the Lakers circus.